Our scripture reading this morning is from the letter of James, James chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 5 through 8. We began last week in this book and talked about how in some ways it's a New Testament version of the book of Proverbs and New Testament wisdom literature. And these verses that we're going to read this morning speak to that. So let us hear God's word, James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Wisdom has been defined in a variety of ways. I'm going to define it this morning as a form of knowledge. It's the kind of knowing that gives us the ability to live well. The kind of knowing that gives us the ability to live well. A wise business person knows how to build a prosperous business. Wise parents know how to raise their children well. A wise coach will know how to build a winning team. A wise ruler will govern his people well. Solomon is an example of such a ruler that's given to us in the Bible. In fact, his wisdom was so great that it received international recognition. Wisdom involves more than knowing facts and figures. It involves knowing how to interpret them and apply them to how we live. And so discernment and good judgment are involved. Someone who gets the highest grades in school is not always the wisest person in the class. There are some academically smart people who show very little wisdom and so make very poor choices in life. And according to the Bible, the much more important kind of knowledge to have is wisdom, because in the end, it's not what we know, but how we live that matters. And so in the spirit of the book of Proverbs, James says that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should seek it. Proverbs 8 verse 5 says, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. In chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs, wisdom is portrayed as a woman who has built a house and is calling out to all who are simple, that is, all who lack wisdom. She's calling them to stop in and to receive the wisdom that she has to offer. She says this, this is Proverbs 9, verses 4 through 6. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. And that's precisely what James is calling us to do. The one who lacks wisdom, he says, should seek it. And so this morning we're going to talk about two ways to seek wisdom. First, we're to seek it from the right source. And then second, we're to seek it with the right attitude. Seek wisdom from the right source. Where do we go to get wisdom? This is the big question. A few minutes ago, I defined wisdom as knowing how to live life well. But what exactly does that mean? What does a life lived well look like? Later on in chapter 3, James will distinguish between what he calls earthly wisdom and the wisdom that comes down from above. And so not all sources of wisdom are equal. It matters where we go to get wisdom. And James says in verse 5 of the chapter that we just read that anyone lacking in wisdom should ask God. If we truly want to be wise people, then God has to be factored in. As creator, he is the source of all wisdom. In response to Job, when Job started questioning the wisdom and the justice of God, God says to him in chapter 38, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know." Of course, Job had no answer, nor do we. We have no place calling into question or second guessing the wisdom of God, but we have every reason as God's image bearers to seek out his wisdom and to make it our own. Where do you go to get wisdom? Movies, TV shows, the internet, the people at work or at school? What is it that's shaping your ideas about how to live life? Now, I'm not saying that there's no wisdom to be found in any of those sources that I just mentioned, but what they have to offer is mixed and can't always be trusted. In fact, often it can be very misleading. But if we want a source of wisdom that's never going to fail us, James says that we should ask God. God wants us to be wise. He made us in his image. His intent when he made us was to make us like himself, and so that we would be wise as he is wise. And so James says here that God gives wisdom generously to all, without reproach. And what that means is that if we ask God for wisdom, he's not going to turn us away. He's not going to refuse us. But, you know, it's not enough to just ask God for wisdom. We also must make use of the means by which God answers that prayer. We have to avail ourselves of the means by which God gives wisdom. And what are those means? Well, first and foremost are the scriptures, the words that God has spoken to us and that we have had, we have in our hands in written form. It's in the scriptures that we find God's commandments. We find his promises and warnings. We find his advice. God's commands or his law provide the wise parameters, the boundaries for all of our decisions that we make in life, all of our choices. We've got a lot of freedom. God's given us a lot of freedom to decide how we're going to live our lives within those borders, within the parameters of God's commands. But it is the height of foolishness to ignore those commands. The writer of Psalm 119 says, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." What sets us apart as wise people more than anything else is knowing and living according to the laws that God has graciously given to us. His commandments are the foundation, the starting point of wisdom. That's why the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, in addition to God's laws, the scriptures also contain his promises and warnings. These give us the motivation for pursuing the wisdom of God's commands, of living according to the things he has called us to do. Now, not Psalm 119, but Psalm 19, These two psalms are easy to remember because they both have a lot to do with God's law. And we read from Psalm 19 this morning in our responsive reading. And in that psalm, we're reminded that by God's commands, the psalmist says, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So there is both promise and there is both warning that is there in Scripture move us, to remind us of the importance of the wisdom that God gives to us and living according to it. And then in addition to commands, promises, and warnings, the Bible contains God's advice. Now, we're not bound to take the advice, but considering the source, it's foolish not to. And so we get advice like a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Good advice. And that's Proverbs 15:1. And Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Again, good advice that God has given to us in His Word. So when we ask God for wisdom, the first place we're to look is in the Scriptures. And my question to you and to me is, are you exposing yourselves to God's Word outside of Sunday mornings? That would mean reading it, listening to it, thinking about it, hearing it taught, discussing it with others, memorizing it. Now, maybe you've fallen out of the habit. I've done that. It's easy to do. Life gets busy. But if we really want wisdom for life, then you and I need to be in God's Word, and we need to be actively asking how that Word applies to the various aspects of our lives. Asking God for wisdom is not just about going to Him when we don't know what to do. Okay, it is about that, but as we'll see in a moment, it can't only be about that. Acquiring wisdom is something that comes over time as we learn God's Word and as we experience life. And so it should be a daily, lifelong pursuit. Well, in addition to the Scriptures as a source of wisdom, we can learn from the wisdom that God gives to other people. And so when we ask God for wisdom, we should avail ourselves of the wisdom that God gives to others, to go to wise people for their counsel, for their advice. There are lots of how-to books, lots of YouTube videos on just about anything, how to invest your money, how to be a leader, how to manage your time, organize your life, how to take a test, how to play a sport, how to cook a steak, if you're cooking steaks today, how to raise your children, how to understand your husband, how to understand your wife. And many of these things contain some good and useful advice. But some of the wisdom that is shared by others is not very wise. And so we need to learn to pick and to choose what we're going to listen to, who we're going to listen to, who do we respect, who are the recognized experts in their field. You know, many times an expert in something is not a Christian. God gives wisdom to all people, whether they believe in Him or not. This is part of God's common grace. It's part of His goodness to all people. And so we shouldn't just reject, we shouldn't reject genuine wisdom just because it comes from someone who doesn't believe in Christ. But, and this is important, we always want to be careful that the advice we're following falls within the boundaries of God's law, the parameters of his commandments. And if that advice, if that wisdom doesn't fit within in those parameters, we should reject it. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the important role that mothers have in imparting wisdom. We heard that in the children's sermon this morning. Mothers, and not only mothers, but fathers and grandparents, imparting wisdom to their children and grandchildren. And so, again, those of you who have responsibility for children, are you instilling wisdom in them? And does that wisdom include instructing them in the Word of God? Does it involve helping them to apply that word to their lives as they grow? Most of all, are you instilling Christ in them? Because in Jesus Christ, we find all the wisdom of God. The Apostle Paul calls Jesus the wisdom of God. As, again, we heard, that was a great children's sermon this morning, Mr. Levo. Jesus is the Word of God. And he is God's final revelation to us. In many times past, God spoke to his people. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. To know Christ is to know God. To know Christ is to know the will of God. It is to know God's grace. It is to know eternal life. And so, moms and dads and grandparents, the most important thing that you can give to your children in the way of wisdom is to teach them about Christ. Now, children, let me speak to you for a moment. I know a number of our children left for junior church, but those who are still here, let me ask you, are you seeking wisdom? What is your goal in life? You should be seeking the wisdom of the Lord. And it's the role of your moms and dads and grandparents to assist you with this. When you were baptized, your parents promised to bring you up in the ways of the Lord. That's their God-given responsibility. And it's your responsibility to listen, to pay attention to their instruction. And I'm going to be honest, there were times when I was a child when I did not want to go to church or Sunday school. Hard to believe. I wanted to play. I wanted to be with my friends. But my mother always made sure that we were in church and that we always had family devotions at home. And as I got older, I started to see the importance of it. And when I got to junior high, I actually went to the pastor of our church and asked him to start a junior high Bible study because our church didn't have one. So you can see a big change happened from when I was younger. I went from not wanting to go to church to wanting more church. But I attribute that to the faithfulness of my mother, who passed on to me the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit used her faithfulness to bring about a change in me. So listen, children, listen to those who God has put in your life. Those people who have godly wisdom. Listen to them and to the wisdom that they bring. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom." Get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. It's important. Well, we are to seek wisdom from the right source, but we're also to seek wisdom with the right attitude. And very quickly, what James says here is that we should seek wisdom in faith, he says. We should ask in faith without doubting. Just believing that God will give us what we ask for is not what James is talking about here. I used to wonder about this passage and think that, well, is James just telling me if I really believe hard enough that God's going to give me wisdom, then it'll come to me? But that's not the point here. James is speaking about faith, not just in the fact that God will give wisdom, but it's faith in the God who gives the wisdom. It is faith that what he will speak to me is true and truly wise and worth following. James is talking about faith in the sense of depending upon God, depending upon his commandments, depending upon his promises. Again, the fear of God, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. It's that faith in him, that trust in him, that acknowledgement that he is indeed a God, and that my life is subject to his, to him, and dependent upon him. So this faith that James is talking about, it involves humility of heart, and a readiness to receive the wisdom that God has given and to follow it, to act on it. Wisdom is for people of faith, people who fear God, people who truly desire wisdom and who are truly seeking it. It's not, James says, for doubters, people who are double-minded. We can't seek wisdom to simply serve our own ends. That's to have wisdom and falsehood occupy the same space at the same time. And according to James, that only makes us unstable. Falsehood's going to win in the end. Do we truly want wisdom, or do we just want to know what will profit us in the moment? Getting wisdom is much bigger than knowing the best option to choose at the time of crisis. Wisdom will help us to make those decisions, but it's not in the first place to make us successful and prosperous. It's to make us like God. In acquiring wisdom, our goal should be much higher than just getting through whatever it is that we're going through. Wisdom is believing wisdom. It's the wisdom of faith. It's the wisdom that is dependent upon the Lord. You know, we often just want God at certain points in our lives to just tell us what to do, right? We're perplexed. We don't know what to do. We don't know whether this is the guy or the girl to marry, or whether this is the fund to invest our money, or decisions about a particular job offer. Again, those kinds of decisions do take wisdom, and they involve wisdom. But if these are the only times that we go to God for wisdom, and the rest of the time, well, we just don't care about what God has to say, then this is not coming to God in faith, okay? This is the double-minded man that James is talking about. And as I've already said, most of all, believing, coming to God in a believing way, in a way of faith, is believing in Jesus Christ. It's believing that in Christ all the wisdom of God is found. Jesus says, follow me, become one of his disciples. Jesus is wisdom. He invites us to come to him, to know him. And to know him is to know the Father. Faith, according, if we're reading James properly here, faith in God, faith in a God who gives wisdom, is really faith in Christ. If we are truly seeking the wisdom that God has to offer, then it's Jesus that we are seeking. And we must come to him and listen to him, follow him, and accept the grace that he has come to bring. Does anyone here lack wisdom? You don't have to raise your hand today. Ask for it. Seek it. Use the means that God has given. Look to Christ. And God is ready and willing and very generous and will give us all the wisdom we need for life and for godliness. Look to him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you do love us, and you care about us, and you want what is best for us, and you want us to be wise children like our Heavenly Father. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us hearts that truly believe that and truly look for the wisdom that you have so graciously promised to us. We thank you for your Son, who is your wisdom in bodily form. Help us, Lord, first of all, to put our hope in him, to look to him, to follow him in all of our ways. Thank you for your grace to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.